When they found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, "Rabbi, when did you come here?" Jesus answered them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, you are seeking me not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves. Do not work for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give to you. For on him God the Father has set his seal." Then they said to him, "What must we do to be doing the works of God?" Jesus answered them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent." So they said to him, "Then what sign do you do that we may see and believe you? What work do you perform?" "Our fathers ate the manna in the wilderness, as it is written, 'He gave them bread from heaven to eat.'" Jesus then said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, it was not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." They said to him, "Sir, give us this bread always." Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. But I said to you that you have seen me, and yet do not believe. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me, I will never cast out. For I have come down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I should lose nothing of all that he has given me, but raise it up on the last day. For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who looks on the Son and believes in him should have eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day." So the Jews grumbled about him because he said, "I am the bread that came down from heaven." They said, "Is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How does he now say, 'I've come down from heaven'?" Jesus answered them, "Do not grumble among yourselves. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up on the last day. It is written in the prophets, 'And they will all be taught by God.' Everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. Not that anyone has seen the Father, except he who is from God. He has seen the Father. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness, and they died. This is the bread that comes down from heaven, so that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh." This is the word of God.
Great God together. And certainly, if you don't know me, my name's Ron Norter. My wife Donna and the two boys have been part of this congregation for a very short time, only a few months, and it's certainly a real honour and privilege to be able to deliver God's word this morning. And we're wanting to focus particularly on John chapter 10, the verses 25 to 30. So if you have your Bible there with you, John chapter 10, the verses 25 to 30, but I'll start reading from verse 22, just so it kind of gives us the setting, puts us in the picture, so to speak. So I'll start reading from John 10, verse 22. At that time, the feast of dedication took place at Jerusalem. It was winter, and Jesus was walking in the temple in the colonnade of Solomon. So the Jews gathered around him and said to him, "How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly." Jesus, and then the start of our text, Jesus answered them, "I told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name bear witness about me. But you do not believe because you are not among my sheep. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. I and the Father are one. We'll continue reading. The Jews picked up stones again to stone him. Jesus answered them, I've shown you many good works from the Father. For which of them are you going to stone me? The Jews answered him, It is not for a good work that we're going to stone you, but for blasphemy, because you, being a man, make yourself God. Jesus answered them, Is it not written in your law, I said, you are gods? If he called them gods to whom the word of God came, and scripture cannot be broken, do you say of him whom the Father consecrated and sent into the world, you are blaspheming, because I said, I am the Son of God? If I am not doing the works of my Father, then do not believe me. But if I do them, even though you do not believe me, believe the works, that you may know and understand that the Father is in me, and I am in the Father. Again they sought to arrest him, but he escaped from their hands. He went away again across the Jordan to the place where John had been baptizing at first, and there he remained. And many came to him, and they said, John did no sign, but everything that John said about this man was true. And many believed in him there. Words. Words. We can often get words mixed up, can't we? For example, you walk past a property and you see the sign, trespassers forgiven. Hang on a minute. You go back and you read the sign again and it actually says, trespassers forbidden. And words can be like that, can't they? We speak of discipling our children, and we may well think it's disciplining our children. Now, this morning, there's a word that I want all of us to focus on. It's somewhat like that as well. But it is a wonderful, wonderful truth that Scripture teaches us. And the word is this. The word is perseverance. Now, perseverance also is a word that perhaps we can easily mix up, because it can kind of easily be configured to be preservation, can't it? This morning we're focusing on the eternal perseverance of the believer, the eternal perseverance of the believer. And you think about that, and it actually emphasizes, does it not, that, well, you and I are involved. Is it not true that we're all called to persevere as Christians? We're now just at the start of a new year, second week, aren't we? We kind of think back to 2024, to last year. How did you go in terms of persevering no matter the circumstance? How did you go? But we are all called to persevere. And yet I want to put to you, it's not all about our effort. And that's why we also speak of the eternal preservation of the believer. In other words, that God preserves me so that I can persevere all the way through life as a Christian. That I can persevere as a person saved by the blood of Jesus, by the one who lived, died, and rose again. Now, Jared already touched on this a little bit earlier, but we all know, do we not, that we live in a world that can be described as a world that's in conflict. Last year, 2024, was no different. And I'm sure you'd agree with me, having watched the news or listened to the news the last week or two, 2025 looks no different to that. We only need to watch or read the news. We're continually reminded of it, are we not? Being impacted by terrorist attacks, wars, threats of wars, violence, suffering, oppression. And also, even when we consider our own everyday lives, with all of the ups and downs, with all the conflict, perhaps even close to home, we face opposition, do we not, as Christians? We face challenges for being a follower of Jesus. Conflict. And you know, you think about these things, and in the midst of all of that, there's this question that can really come to our minds. It may well come up on a regular basis. Will I actually make it as a Christian to the end? Will I make it? Or will I be a casualty along the way? And just on casualties, we all know that some people do become casualties along the way. And also in the scriptures, we have examples of people falling away. For example, the Apostle Paul said of Demas, "Because he loved the world, he has deserted me, and therefore he has deserted the gospel." I'm sure we all can think of Judas, one of the 12, who became a betrayer. John, he writes in 1 John that some have left us, but their leaving shows they were never really part of us. Also in Hebrews chapter 6, we find the warning that we are to be careful lest we fall away. And Paul, again, he writes in Romans 14 that the strong should be careful that by the exercise of their liberty, they would not destroy the faith of the weak. And our Lord Jesus himself, he teaches us in the parable of the sower, that the sower, he sows the seed, and he sows the seed into four types of soil. One type is good, brings forth fruit after receiving the seed. Another doesn't receive the seed at all. But two types of soil accept the seed, but do not persevere to harvest stage. They're casualties. And so the question after talking about conflict is, will I be a casualty? How secure am I? Well, I stand here today, friends, with the great news, with the tremendous news, is that the Bible assures every believer that he or she is eternally secure. Earlier, Jared read from Psalm 23, and we have those truly wonderful words, do we not? "And I will dwell in the house of the Lord," how long? Forever. Romans 8 tells us that because of what Jesus has done, there's now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. That our glorification is sure as all the purposes of God. Just as he has foreknown and predestined and justified, he will also bring us to glory. And that truly great chapter ends with nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. And you know, you read that passage, Paul takes every possibility into account and ends up concluding that absolutely nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. And also the Apostle Peter, he says that through faith we are shielded by God's power. And Paul says in Philippians 1 that he who began a good work in you will see it through to completion. And also the Lord Jesus says in John chapter 6, which Amy read to us earlier, "All that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me I will never drive away. And God's will is this, that I shall lose none of all that he's given me, but raise them up at the last day." Believers are eternally secure. And this is the wonderful truth of the eternal perseverance of believers. And it's that wonderful truth that we find in our text. Let's have a look at our text a little more closely. Notice that the setting is the Feast of Dedication at Jerusalem. The occasion celebrating the rededication of the temple in 165 BC after the temple had been desecrated by Antiochus Epiphanes, who slaughtered a pig on the altar. The temple then had to be cleansed and rededicated, and this was a great act of deliverance by God for his people in 165 BC. Realize that that was the last time that God had delivered the Jews. And the question would be there, would God deliver the Jews again now that the Romans had come in and taken over? Where was God's deliverer going to come from? And isn't it interesting that here in this setting, in our text, the Jews are there and they're face to face with the great deliverer, our Lord Jesus. Now, earlier in this chapter, Jesus had said this. He said, "I am the gate." In other words, he is the way into God's flock. But again, once we're in, are we secure in his flock? Well, have a look at verse 26 of our text. Have a look at what Jesus says. He says, "But you do not believe because you are not among my sheep." Now notice that Jesus does not say what you and I might think he ought to say. "You are not my sheep because you do not believe." In other words, putting things the other way around. We tend to think, do we not, "I believe and therefore I become a sheep." Well, no, not according to the Lord Jesus. You are a sheep, therefore you believe. You see, you are a sheep because God calls you to be his sheep. In other words, it's God's initiative, and belief in Jesus is the fruit of that call to be his sheep. It's not the foundation of it. So again, you do not believe in order to become a sheep. God calls you to be his sheep, and the fruit of that is that you believe. And you know, we have a truly wonderful God who pursues us. He actually pursues us with that call. We all know of people who've run around the whole world to escape God's call on their life. There are numerous testimonies of people actually doing that. And yet what happens is God eventually catches up with them and he makes them his own. And having become one of his sheep, you've become a new person and you believe and you recognize the voice of the shepherd. Now, this is quite consistent with John chapter 6. "All the Father gives me, I will never drive away. All the Father gives me will come to me." And so you as a believer are part of God's gift to the Son for safekeeping. Now, note how the sheep are described here. How can I know that I'm a sheep? Well, look at verse 27. Jesus says, "My sheep listen to my voice." Now, this is actually the message throughout this chapter. You look at verse 3, you look at verse 4, you look at verse 5, you look at verse 16. Sheep are described as those who listen to the voice of the shepherd, Jesus Christ. And notice in verse 27, they are described with more detail because they listen to his voice and Jesus says, "I know them. I know each of them." Now we all know in our everyday lives, at the bank, I'm a number. To my employer, I'm a number on the books. At the tax office, at Medicare, at Vic Roads, everywhere, I'm a mere number. But Jesus says he knows each of his sheep, and they who listen to him are known by him and they follow him. And notice what Jesus also says in verse 28. He says, "I give them eternal life." Now, thinking about eternal life, eternal life is firstly a quality of life. According to John 17, it is knowing God and Jesus whom he has sent. But we also need to be mindful that eternal life is a quality of life that goes on for eternity. So it's also a quantity of life. It goes on forever. And so the Lord Jesus says here in verse 28, I give them eternal life and they shall never perish. Now we need to underline that verse. They shall never perish. And it begs the question for all of us, does it not, that do you actually trust the word of our Lord Jesus Christ? Do you actually trust that each and every day, no matter the circumstances? Now Jesus goes on, doesn't he? No one can snatch them out of my hand. No one can rob them, plunder them. No one can loot them. No one can seize them. The ones who hear my voice, the ones who are known by me, who follow me, the ones who recognize Jesus as the shepherd, we are safe for eternity in the hands of the good shepherd. Thinking about this, what are we learning about sheep here? At least four things we're learning. Firstly, we are the gift of God the Father to God the Son. Secondly, we are sheep because of God's initiative, not ours. Thirdly, we are sheep because we recognize Jesus as shepherd. That actually shows that we are his sheep. We follow him and are known by him. And fourthly, that we are safe. We are safe against all of our enemies. Now Jesus goes on and he repeats this in verse 29. He says, my Father who has given them to me, he is greater than all. In other words, that which the Father has committed to me is a precious trust, and I see my sheep as precious, and no one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. Now isn't this truly a remarkable thing that our Lord is saying about himself and also about the Father? You see, the Father calls us and gives us, sheep, to his Son for safekeeping. The Son preserves us. The Son keeps us secure. How does he do that? Well, Hebrews 7:25 reminds us that he's able to save completely those who come to God through him. And why? Because he always lives to intercede for them. You see, our Lord Jesus, who's at the right-hand side of the Father, is praying to God for you always. He is interceding on your behalf. And so you're preserved because of the effective prayer of the Lord Jesus Christ. And in turn, then, we can be assured that when Jesus says that no one can be snatched away, that that's true. And finally, there's more. Jesus says, I and the Father are one. I and the Father are one. Here you see is the great mark of the unity between the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. You trust the Father, you can trust me, Jesus says. That's how safe you are. And this, you see, is something that the Jews could not accept. But when we believe in the Christ, we can be sure that all of the Godhead is working to keep us safe. We're safe in the hands of the Father, the one who calls you. We're safe in the hands of the Son, the one who receives you and prays for you. And when it comes to the Holy Spirit, we're reminded of Paul's words in Ephesians 1. You were marked in him with a seal, with the promised Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is God's seal upon you against tampering. You're safe because you are sealed with the Holy Spirit. And so, friends, this is the eternal preservation by the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit of the believer. And this means that the believer will persevere to the very end. Be mindful that there's no ground here for false pride or arrogance. We as believers ought to take very seriously those warnings of Scripture. Yes, God guarantees the end, and he says now you continue in the faith. And so when the word warns me against non-continuance, then I want to take that word very seriously. And now you say, but what about all of those who fell away? What about all of those casualties? What about the two soils, Demas, Judas, and so forth? Well, we have to say that they had a temporary faith, a superficial faith, not true saving faith. They were not true sheep. And as sheep, recognizing his voice and following him, knowing the great comfort it is that God preserves me, which rests on his faithfulness. And there's also a great challenge for you and I as well. Because we need to ask ourselves questions like this. Am I superficial in my reception of the gospel and turn back ashamedly at the first sign of opposition? Am I cluttered in my reception of the gospel such that so many other things take over and clutter my relationship with Jesus? Do I listen to Jesus in such a way as to follow him and only him? Do I listen and recognize in him the voice of my shepherd king? Do I love the flock of which I am part? Do I resist the gospel, turning back when it becomes too difficult to stand for it because of the mockery of friends? Do I let the world and all of its concerns and worries for status and prestige and money crowd out the gospel from my experience? It's good, is it not, to examine ourselves in light of God's word. Eternal preservation means the perseverance of the believer. And it is a comfort, but it's also a challenge. Remember that. And you in your life, you may say progress is so slow. You may well ask, will I make it to the end or will I be a casualty? And God says this, you are kept, you are guarded, you are safe. Or you might say this, no worries, mate, I'm going to make it to the end, no problem. And then God says, watch out, be careful. Take those warnings of Scripture seriously. The great theologian Spurgeon said that there's one doctrine I've preached on more than any other, and that is the doctrine of the perseverance of the saints. If I am justified through faith in the perfect work of Jesus, who lived and died on the cross for the complete forgiveness of all of my sins, that work never loses its effect, and it never goes off before God. It's an unchanging declaration of God the judge. Therefore, I must be preserved to the end. And my confidence, it's not in me. My confidence is in the unchanging faithfulness of God to keep his promise. We all know that great verse in John's Gospel, don't we? God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him, notice, shall not perish, but have eternal life. No one can snatch them out of my hand. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. We often sing, don't we? Through many dangers, toils and snares I've already come. 'Tis grace that hath brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead me home. I hope you all know that this truly is great comfort. You are eternally secure. But remember, that needs to be balanced by challenge. The challenge not to be careless, but to be careful, to examine yourself, to make sure you are in the faith. Comfort and challenge. And so in conclusion, eternal preservation is the basis of the perseverance of the believer. We are preserved by Christ to persevere in Christ. And so let us then in our lives acknowledge God's faithfulness in and through his Son, the Lord Jesus, who lived, died, and rose again. And also acknowledge our responsibility as sheep of the shepherd to listen to him, to live lives of thanks to him each and every day, and to persevere in him and for him. Also, as we go forth into this new year of our Lord 2025. Amen. Let's pray. Our gracious Lord, our loving Heavenly Father, by nature we are people who are insecure and often frail and fragile. We're people who can also be proud and independent, as though everything depends on us. But we thank you for this strong word of comfort and assurance from our Saviour today, that we are safe in the hand of the Son. We're safe in the hand of the Father. And Jesus says, I and the Father are one. So deliver us, we pray, from arrogance, which sees ourselves as independent and which doesn't give the attention to the warnings and promises of your word. We thank you for the gospel. We pray that you would make us good soil, which takes the gospel in and sees it produce the fruit of trust and belief in the Lord Jesus in our lives. O Lord Jesus, we recognize you as the good shepherd, and we hear your voice. We come to you as the only gate to the sheepfold. We trust in you as the one who governs and preserves us in our pilgrimage on earth. Help us to watch our ways. Help us to resist the world. Help us to stand for you when we're tempted to be ashamed. Help us to love and serve your people, our fellow sheep, even when we find that an unattractive prospect. Grant, Lord, that each and every one of us here today, that we may know the comfort and assurance which is found in Christ alone, and instill in us that sense of challenge to live and to persevere for you in light of that. For your glory. Amen. And now we're just going to have our benediction and these words from Ephesians chapter 3. For this reason I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. And now to him who's able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever, and all of God's people say, Amen. Amen.